morning.
Good morning.
Lovely to see some people I haven't seen for a while, Brandon. Nice to see you. And Andrew Hans. Lovely to see you. And some folks I don't really know as well. I'd love to see you.
It's my sister, Megan, and Andy, and Ezra.
Oh, hi. Lovely to have you. So your sister.
Yes.
And son. Lovely to have you. Ben, when do you travel back?
Today.
Today?
Late tonight, yeah.
St. James, good to have you with us. And this is actually the last in our series of messages that we've done, sort of one-offs, where the speaker can just choose to speak about whatever he would like to speak about. So I get the last one. And you don't know how joyful it is to be, that we're so blessed with having a number of people that are so gifted at speaking and sharing just within our fellowship. To have a little country church like this. When I first came here a few years ago, I spoke every week for a while. And I prayed, oh Lord, I can't do this. And then the Lord answered, and Peter Mayo was here for a while, some of you know Peter. And we were able to share the pulpit and every other week. And then prayed again that the Lord would raise up people from in the fellowship that would be able to share in the preaching. And I said, I'm not going to speak more than once a month. That's what I can manage. And I was able to go to England for 7 weeks. And it's been a massive answer to prayer just to be able to have, and not just for my own sanity, but for the church, the health of the church. It's beautiful to have different speakers who have different experience and different even styles and different background and knowledge of the scriptures. And we can all learn from each other, and it's such a blessing for a healthy church. And trusting God to raise up people who can teach and preach the word of God is something that is very important to the church. And we believe that God has given not just teaching and preaching, but other gifts, that we all have gifts that we want to be able to minister to one another using the gifts that we have. It would be such a shame if there were preachers among us who never got a chance to exercise that gift, if one person does it all. In fact, those that are preaching now, their job is to work themselves out of the job and to bring on the next generation of preachers. So when I have nothing left to do, then I'll be the most happy. That's the church planter's mentality, is to work yourself out of a job. And that is my ultimate goal. So that's a biblical principle to pass to disciple and pass on things to the next generation. But everything that we do as a church fellowship is bound to be based on ideas that we have, and principles and values that we have, that we understand from the Word of God. And that's one of them, trusting God to raise up people who can teach the Word. But I would like to, I'm an elder in this church, and I thought it would be nice, since it's the last time doing these open services before we start a new series, to maybe share three principles that are really precious to me. And sometimes people ask, what's the vision of the church? What's the future? What is the vision? What kind of church do we aspire to be? Should we start a Sunday school? How often should we break bread? How are we going to handle finances? How many meetings should we have in a week? Where do we meet? What programs are we going to have? What sort of order of service do we have? These are all things that we think about and have maybe different thoughts about. Evangelism, what songs do we sing? What music do we play? Why are we doing this, but we're not doing that? And we all have things that maybe we think about with how a church might look. And How we answer these millions of questions will depend upon our underlying beliefs about what we actually think a church even is. And of course, our desire of all of us is to try and stick to something that kind of resembles what is a biblical pattern for a church, rather than trying to do something because it happens to be the popular thing in the corporate world and we bring it into the church, or it happens to be the popular thing in our culture and just bring it into the church, but to have a steady desire to do what the Word of God says. So, I'd like to share three things that I think are about the foundation of what I think is the kind of church I want to go to. And some of these things are really being, it's lovely to see some of these things growing in our fellowship. I purposely made these three things a bit jarring, just to get us thinking. And so the first thing that is at the foundation of what we do as a church is, we don't go to church. We don't go to church. Do you go to church? What kind of church do you go to? So you might say, he didn't go to church last week. I've said these kind of things a million times. You've said them a million times. They're part of the way we talk about church. And even though sometimes we often say to each other, well, the church isn't a building. We say that, it's people. But we say it so much, but I wonder if sometimes we do treat the church as a place that we go. Because it's so ingrained in us, that kind of talk about church. But there is absolutely no, as far as I can see, any biblical basis for the phrase, go to church. Nobody goes to church. We go to the supermarket, maybe on Monday. We go to the bank. We go to the university to get educated. Go to the bank to get money. We go to school to get educated. And then we could just keep going and say, well, I go to church on Sunday to worship or learn from the Bible. Church is just one of those places we go to, one of the things we do. And I would say, God forbid that we think of a church like that. I don't like going to church. I've never liked going to church. If that's all that the people there are there to do is go to church. It might seem like a really small difference to say, go to the Bonshaw Church, I go to the Bonshaw Church, or the church goes to Bonshaw. But there is all the difference in the world. Or if I say, let's meet at church, let's go to church, meet at church. Or to say the church meets. It might seem quite similar, a bit of a semantic difference, but it's an absolutely completely different thing. Our text for this point is Romans 16, verse 3 to 5. Romans 16, verses 3 to 5 is a short text. We could pick many of these kind of texts that say the same sort of thing, but here's just one, just to show you how the Bible phrases this when it talks about the church. Romans 16:3. Greet Priscilla, Paul says, and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Then it says, verse 5, greet also the church that meets at their house. It doesn't say greet the people who meet at the church. It says greet the church that meets at a house. And the Bible never talks about going to church. It always speaks of the church meeting at such and such a place. probably know, heard it before, the word church is ecclesia in Greek, and so kallio is to call, and the prefix ek is out. So church means a group of people who are called out. So the church are a group of people who have been called out of the world, as it were, brought together to form the body of Christ, called out and unified in Christ. And we become part of the universal church when we trust the Lord Jesus and He saved us. He's united us together with Christ. We become part of the body of Christ. We've been made one. That's the church. And then people in a local area, because all the church can't get together, the people in your area, Christians, we want to meet together. We want to meet together because we are united in Christ. We are one body. Probably the closest thing I can think of is like a marriage. A man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh, it says in Genesis. So two people, two individuals form a marriage, and they're joined as one. And it's such a wonderful thing. My favorite thing about being married is that you're so united and there's no exit. There's no, you're completely made one. And there's a huge freedom in knowing that somebody has accepted you and you have accepted them. You don't have to prove anything anymore. You don't have to put on a show. You don't have to, you're just loved and you can love. And that's just the most freeing thing in the world. And of course, those two people love each other, so they want to be together, spend time together. To say go to church is just like saying, it's as weird as saying, let's go to marriage. Doesn't really make any sense. Marriage is not something we go to. We are married. We are the church. We love each other, and therefore we love to be together and make time for each other. And being together is the most natural, obvious thing to do. So we desire to express the unity we have by being close. If a married couple is having trouble, and one of them's gone off in that house, and one of them's gone off in that house, one of them's left the house, we don't just say, you need to go home. We might say that. But that wouldn't really fix the problem, would it? There's obviously something in the relationship that's a problem. The answer is not go be under the same roof. The answer is we need to see what is the problem here. And so, you know, we often say you need to go to church, go to church, go to church. But maybe when there's somebody who's not going to church, there's a reason. And it's the reason that we want to think about. Because they are the church and there's a part of the church that's hurting. So, greet the church, or the called out ones, that meet at their house. It's very hard to greet a location, isn't it? You can only greet people who happen to be meeting in a certain building. And that might, again, that might seem a small difference, but think for a moment before we move on about how that thinking might affect the way we actually operate in the church, if we think this way or this way about church. If I'm thinking, oh, I go to church, it makes it a lot easier for church to have absolutely no bearing on my life as soon as I exit this door. I don't think about the supermarket when I'm not there. I might think, well, when I leave here, I leave the church and I have my other life. Maybe when I think of the church as some place I go to, I might tend to think about more about what I get out of it. I come to it with a consumer kind of mentality, like I do when I go to the shop, the store. I go to this place and I hope that I'm going to get something. Things are prepared for me and I consume it, and then I leave, like going to a restaurant. If I don't like the food there, I'll go to a different restaurant. If I don't like that particular speaker, I'll avoid that one, and or the music, well, that person's really starting to annoy me. I won't go to that one, I'll go to somewhere different. And when I think of church as a place I go to, I might have get the funny idea that I might actually become a different person. I can become a different person when I go to church. When I go to church, I'm like this, and I wear this, and I do this, and I don't say that. I certainly don't swear there, because I'm at church. Whereas outside, it might be completely different. But if I am in church, all those ideas seem rather ridiculous. So, we don't go to church. We are a church. And that is all the difference in the world. And that underlies everything that so much of what our practice comes from that. I don't particularly have an interest in keeping going some kind of meeting, organizing something that happens every week. What I do want to have is to be with my brothers and sisters in the Lord and to rub shoulders with people who are totally different and yet love the Lord and grow together and to see people exercising their gifts. And outside of church, there is as much church as we are over here. This is like a family, like a marriage in that sense. So where we really know that we are a church, wow, what changes everything. It doesn't matter really where we meet. Think of all the places we met during COVID. Here, at home, outside on a lawn, in the community center, sometimes, dare I say it, on the internet. We meet because we wanted to keep connection, even in all the different ways that we could. We meet together because we want to, we love to, because not because we're supposed to. And because we are a church, church is something that we are through the week. Not just a group of people have to put up with on Sundays. There was, you know, we can have a bit of a clergy mentality where, oh well, the clergy, the leaders will do all the visitation during the week and they make sure everybody's happy and look after everyone's needs. But actually we're all one anothering as a church. When we are a church, we're all one anothering, because you have people. I just love it when I hear that someone's had a problem that I never knew anything about it, but somebody else had it on their heart to go and help them. And it's all sorted out just because people are one anothering. And that is such a beautiful thing. We all have people and connections that we can have a place to minister. And when we do meet, it's then natural and without awkwardness. Even if nothing is particularly organized when we came here this morning, because of this, it wouldn't mean anything particularly weird to just come here and be able to sing some songs for someone to share what they've been learning and to pray together without anyone having written an order of service, because we are a church. We are as much, just like when we get together in the evening as a family, we don't need a piece of paper with an order of service always, because it's a natural thing to do. Don't think by saying this, you don't go to church, that I'm lessening the value of being together. Quite the opposite. I would raise it up. The more you love your spouse, the more you want to be together. And it's just a reflection of what is. We're getting towards number two. The final thought of number one is church is unique. It's a great mystery. And keep that in mind, not treat it as something familiar or just another place we go, another man-made institution. She's the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, and pillar around me of truth, a royal priesthood, a rock, a kingdom, and so much more. So we can slide into an idea that we church is somewhere we go rather than somewhere we are. And let us be mindful of that danger. Second maybe thing we can slip into is the next one. We're not an organization. And when we look at the early church descriptions in the Bible, one thing that we can see is that they're really, really simple. The churches are really simple. And we're given really very little direction in the Bible about how to go about organizing a service. And there are just a few things laid out that we really should do, but there's also so much scope for bringing it into our own cultural setting. There's nothing about Sunday schools, men's breakfasts, very little about buildings, all these other things, whether or not you have a gymnasium attached to the church building, etc. These are all just lovely things maybe to do, but they're not at the heart of what it is to be a church. And it is quite common today to have church offices and paid staff and employees and multiple programs and committees and multi-million dollar budgets and advertising budgets, a logo for the church, a tagline for the church. And none of these things are simple. And in a big church, you do need more organization. But we do have a tendency to sort of move from simple to complex. And we look at the big successful organizations around the world, all the things they have, and we sort of think, to be successful, we need all those things too. And that will be the key to our success if we have those things. And so we maybe put our trust in making a big organization and start to judge our success based on the number of activities and programs and staff than the individual lives that we touch. It's so easy to think of being busy as being spiritual. Another thing that happens in organizations a lot, I mean, I see this at work all the time, the us and them. You know, in a workplace, you have an organization, you have management, and you have the regular people, and they say they're going to do this, and there's all this gossip and things going around in an organization. It's like a big machine. And there's people on the inside and people on the outside. What I love about being here is just, this is it, this is us. There's nothing really behind the scenes that isn't, there's no secret or sort of us and them. We're just a group of believers together. So we're not an organization, and I'm so glad. I don't want to go spend my week at an organization or a business and come to church and be a business. It's something completely different. It is totally unique. We aren't an organization, what are we? We're an organism. The text for this is Colossians 1:18. Again, many texts we can point to. Just pick one. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. It's just one phrase, you don't have to turn there if you don't want to, as you like. He is also head of the body, the church. So we're not an organization, we're a body, an organism, and every part of this body is precious. This local church is precious. And different, and unique, and special, and needed. And the only way we, as a very diverse group of people, can be coordinated to do anything of eternal value is because we have a head, and the head is the Lord Jesus. So he is the place from which we get our direction. And the head prompts each part to act, whether you're playing, serving a volleyball, or cutting peaches, or whatever it is, your head will direct your parts to do what is needed. And that's what is like in the church. So Christ is our head, and as an organism, we will, as we walk with him and close to him, he will prompt us according to his will. So that means the vision for our church is to have as much organization as we need to function. For example, we do have a time to start this service, that's organization, 10 o'clock. We also have a preaching schedule. But more than that, things like Pat being taken care of the finances, and she has passed the baton over. I know Hannah Joy is taking care of the bookkeeping, that's an organizational thing that you need to have. And Daryl, Jesse, and Michael, at the last meeting that we had, they are like a little committee to see what to do with the finances that we have. And if there's something large, they'll put it before the church, like supporting a missionary or doing something big on the building. They'll put it in front of everybody, and we can decide together how we want to use our money. And that's something you have to do, right? It's organization, it's not bad, it's good. And we're just thankful for organized people who know how to deal with money. But the principle is just whenever we can to err on the side of simplicity and giving space to the Lord to lay things on people's hearts. For the past few years, no one's actually been cleaning this building. Until, I mean, on and off, people have cleaned it just out of the kindness of their hearts. And then the Lord put it on Mrs. Henderhan's part to kind of get something a bit more regular going. The lovely thing about that is that, you know, that someone's doing it because they want to do it and the Lord put it on their heart, not because they were pressured into it. Well, we need to clean the building. And that's a beautiful way to be, as much as possible, to leave it like that. If something doesn't get done, it doesn't get done. You might think that somebody like Charity comes up here and sings a song on a Sunday morning, that somebody has asked her to do that. Well, actually, the Lord laid a song on her heart. She said, would I be able to sing the song this Sunday? So it's as simple as that. There's not really a behind-the-scenes organization for if you had a song on your heart that you would love to sing, then we trust that God has put that on your heart. Say, have this song, this is the song. That's so beautiful. So there is a lot of freedom for that kind of thing. Like the Galantz just organizing that singing thing. While we were away, we missed, unfortunately. When there was some an evening of singing here. So if you have a thought or something on your heart, we trust the Lord to lead and guide you. And even that's why we don't so far have an official midweek meeting. We've done things in the week. But if you had a course or a series or a book you'd like to study or get together as a church, just put it forward and say, this is on my heart to do this. Or you'd like to have the church around for some prayer at your house. There's space for the Lord to lead in that. So that's really how this works in practice. When we're not an organization, it's how the body functions. Just a picture, not to be outdone by Colin's dog picture last week. The other thing about a body is, if we want body, then this is what fighting looks like, quarreling looks like, disunity looks like. What are you actually doing? You're actually backbiting. When you're backbiting, you're actually biting the body that you're a part of. So a cat biting its own tail, thinking its tail is the enemy, and grabbing hold of it and chasing it, that's disunity in the church. You're actually a body that's basically hitting itself. That's how ridiculous it is. Whereas if you think of it as an organization, then it seems perfectly logical. There's going to be fighting, there's going to be power struggles, there's going to be all that. But when you're a body, how ridiculous. And that's why it's so painful when there is division in the body, because it feels like your hand has been ripped off. It is so painful. So just remember that picture when you feel like that person. Just remember they're part of the same body you're part of. finally, we'll go to the last one. We don't put on a show. When I say show, I think of two things. Firstly, church is not a place where you have to try and be something different than you really are. And it is home. When we come together, you are home. And it's real. The world is looking for authenticity and reality. And so much of the church, accusation against the church, is a bunch of hypocrisy because they see Christians being one way here and another way there. But since we are a church, whether we're here or not, we should be the same whether we're here or not. It's not fake spirituality, but genuine reality. If we have a lovely Sunday service here, and then the week we have a business meeting, at which the business meeting is more argumentative than my staff meetings at work, which of those meetings is a better indication of the spiritual level of the church? The nice Sunday one or the business meeting that's like, I would say kind of the business meeting, because that's the reality of neither of those meetings are in a way more important than the other. They're both part of the church. And it is such, the most wonderful thing about coming here is just that I do feel at home and it feels real and we're not perfect and there's not always everything right and nice and neat and tidy, but there's all kinds of people and it's just very, we know that it's the Lord that's brought us together, just like in a marriage. A quote from Spurgeon. A time will come when instead of shepherds feeding the sheep, the church will have clowns entertaining the goats. I'll read that again. A time will come, Spurgeon thought, when instead of shepherds feeding the sheep, the church will have clowns entertaining the goats. And that's the other side of show, is that we can, again, taking the idea from the world, we want to be as entertaining as possible, and that will be as attractive as possible. And so our goal is to entertain. But the wonderful gospel story has no need for embellishment. It's simple, it's a treasure, and it's the glory and the power is in the message. And it doesn't mean to say we don't do things excellently or think about how we sing and those things, but it is just simply, we don't put on a show, what do we do? Calvin read at the beginning, this is where we'll close, from Ephesians chapter 3. It's probably the greatest prayer in the Bible, the first part in chapter 3, and then there's a part in chapter 4. Paul prays that he would grant us, thinking of the church, he's talking to a church, a local church, he would grant us the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be the glory in the church, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. Amen. You know, if you want a vision for the church, that's the vision for the church. Wow. Yes. The glory in the church. To see his glory in the church. In this little church here, to see the glory of Christ. That is the goal. By understanding how great God's love is for us. How Christ's love is depth and height and breadth. And then we'll have glory by through that. Glory in the church. And then he says in chapter 4 is a little bit different. He sometimes just goes straight back down to, therefore, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called, with all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, enduring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You would never be able to have any of that glory in the church unless you're humble. Thank you. great your mighty spirit, the things that are so awesome, come down to the little, how you deal with the person sitting next to you, or behind you, or in front of you. The one thing I regret doing during the whole COVID thing, I'll show you what I regret doing, is I went that. One roll of the eyes does more damage in relationship, did more damage to my relationships than anything else, whether we met somewhere or did here, or I went to somebody. Because I was just sick of hearing about COVID and what different opinions and things like that. But this is the kind of thing it's talking about. And so we can talk all these high spiritual things, but none of that happens when we're like with people or say something about people. Can't stand them. But we put on the love of Christ. We put it on lowliness, humility. Just think of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was so lowly and humble that it took him to death, death on the cross. And we need to die to ourselves, follow him, take up our cross, follow him. Because after that, there is glory. So I hope that helps us just understand three principles that underline maybe how we think going forward, and as a church, at least what's on my heart. So that it helps us to just to have that ease. And so don't go to church, be a church. Let's not be like an organization, but be like an organism, a body of Christ. We're not here to put on a show, put on love. So let's read together the verse taken out from the passage that you can see that. Let's say it together. This is our ultimate prayer while we're doing all this. Let's read it out loud.
Unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end.
Amen. So next week, we don't actually have a speaker next week. So we've done it a few times before, where because it's the end of this series, and maybe we'll start another series. It looks like we're going to do 1 Peter, start going through 1 Peter. But as a sort of a gap between before we start that series, that we will break bread together next Sunday, and it will be an open service. And what that means is that if you have a verse that you would like to read, or a song, whether it's a song that you'd like to sing up front, or a song to choose that we sing together, or a chorus, if you have something to share, the way the Lord's been working in your life, then it's just an open time. And in a way, it's a chance to put into practice these things, in the sense of we're all a body, we're at home, and what is the Lord doing in your life, and to worship the Lord Jesus together. So I think Jesse's going to lead next Sunday, so there will be someone leading the service, but there will be a time that's open for prayer, for singing, and to share a verse or something that's on your heart. So again, as we leave church, don't be a church, do we? As we leave the building, we're still church, so we're still learning and growing as we read the words on in our own time and so on. So let's be mindful of that, and then the following week we will start 1 Peter, which is a lovely book to read together. I believe we have a final song.